hello and welcome to Dirt Road Discussions, where we talk about anything and everything about agriculture. I'm your host, Cam Hammond. So have you ever wondered how someone exactly becomes a beekeeper? Well, today we're going to learn more about that. My guest is Spencer Drange, and Spencer's family owns Drange Apiary in Laurel, Montana. He's a beekeeper and has been involved in agriculture his entire life. Spencer, welcome to Dirt Road Discussion. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk to you and to dig into more about your background and more about beekeeping. So before we start, though, I just got to ask. So I have a background in ranching and working with cattle. The idea of bee ranching is something that's interesting to me. Would you consider yourself a bee rancher, per se?
Yeah, some call it that. Or bee farming, you know, it sort of goes all hand in hand.
Okay, good deal. So I'm not too far off base with bee ranching. So let's talk a little bit more about your background. I understand that beekeeping goes clear back to your childhood. Could you kind of tell me how you got started with beekeeping and how that all evolved?
Yeah, so actually it started when my dad was a child. Back in 86, there was a swarm that sort of was on our homestead barn, and my dad kept watching it, and my grandpa told him that if he's going to sit there and stare at bees, he's going to make money with it. And so my grandpa bought him some hives and had him start making honey in that. He then went to college for beekeeping and then came back to Montana. He did that over in Ohio and then came back here, worked for the state for a few years doing bee inspections and that. Then he left that and started sidelining with another commercial beekeeper. And then in 2010, he bought out the business that we now own.
Okay. So then your dad, he was the one who kind of started things. And did you say that your dad, he went to college and got a degree in beekeeping? Is that right?
Yeah. So he went in back then. He could go to Ohio State and they had a beekeeping, commercial beekeeping class. I also have a beekeeping degree through University of Montana. I haven't completed it yet, but I have taken two of the three classes for it out of UM.
Okay. Now that's something that I think is kind of interesting there, just more about what exactly that beekeeping program looks like. Could you tell us a little bit more about your coursework or the field work or what exactly is all involved to get a degree in beekeeping?
Yeah, so it's set up for those that are learning and just starting with beekeeping. It's a really good program. And so pretty much it's a lot of doing the research, figuring out, you'll have your own hive. And so sort of seeing what works, what doesn't. And then the third class, you'll actually have a big project where you're in your bees doing a big study and reports and stuff. So it's a lot of research and just sort of doing a lot of online searching and then discussing between the other people in the classes and talking and sort of seeing what other people are seeing and figuring it out.
Good deal. Yeah. That's something that, you know, I haven't really thought about before is, yeah, with beekeeping, what type of education is needed, to do that? And what type of course, you know, knowledge and experience is needed as well. So with the research and with the collaborating with your classmates, I would imagine you probably have to be out in the field with the hives quite a bit too. Is that right?
For the program, there's a three-step class. Your apprentice, you don't actually really need the bees. It's just sort of learning the process of beekeeping. And then in the journeyman, you need the bees some. With that apprentice, it's getting you prepped for the journeyman. So when you get the bees, you have a background understanding of bees. That way, you know what you're looking for once you get that hive. And then in the master's class, that's when you're actually doing the research yourself and seeing what you find in study.
Gotcha. And then you said that you're just about done with the program.
I need to go back and I should finish it. it would been a few years since I took it. And then when I was taking the master's class between working for the family business, and then I got injured that summer. So I just couldn't be in the bees like I wanted to. And I just haven't gone back and finished yet. So.
Okay. Yeah. So just kind of going back to more about your childhood and working in the family business and working with bees. Is that something from pretty early on in your life that you realized that you wanted to do? Is that something that's just always kind of interest you?
So a lot with beekeeping is I've been around it my whole life. I was 1 week old when I was at the first farmer's market with my parents selling honey. And then my dad, when he was sidelining for that other beekeeper, he was working 5 days a week for them. And then he had 200 hives of his own. So on weekends, he was out in the bees, his bees, working his bees. And so really spend time with my dad. I had to go out and be in the bee field with him. And I just sort of enjoyed, you know, you got to drive the back roads all the time and see beautiful country. And so it just sort of stuck with me and I love doing it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. Something that definitely, of course, has been in your family's heritage and kind of something that's also got into your blood a little bit. So kind of switching gears here with bees, I know that, of course, bees are very important to our ecosystem and just very important in general. But I know that there are a lot of maybe misconceptions about bees. Like, for example, I have young kids and they are terrified of bees for whatever reason. They think that every bee is going to sting them. But other than that, are there other misconceptions about bees?
So actually, that's the biggest misconception is everyone thinks that all bees are mean. Honey bees are actually very gentle. They only sting to protect their hive because once they sting you, they actually die. So the only time they're really aggressive is after that beekeeper's just in there messing with them, or if it's really hot and there's not a food source out there for them, then they're going to be sort of picking on one another and get fighting and be a little bit more aggressive. But for the most time, they are extremely gentle. You can walk right past them and not be bothered.
Okay. Yeah. So more along the lines of, if you kind of leave them alone, they'll leave you alone then.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. So in your operation, can you kind of explain more of the nuts and bolts maybe of how it all works? So, like for example, how many hives do you all run, and what's more of the process for when you go to the hive and you collect the honey?
All right. So between us and then we got a couple other employees that run some bees, we're about 5,400 hives that we run year round. And then the one thing with beekeeping is that from day to day, your job's changing. So I like to say that the beekeeping year really starts for our operation January 20th. And January 20th, we're pulling them out of actually Idaho, out of the potato sheds there, and we're bringing them down to California and getting them ready for the almonds down here. We'll be doing that for about a month. We're down here, we're medicating, making sure that they're alive, feeding, doing all that. Then the almond bloom's on, we go home and we take about a 2 week break while the almond bloom's going on. We come back down here and we're medicating and feeding. That's when we're going to start making our divides, which is making up the dead. We're selling bees right now and we're getting bees ready to take home to sell as well. Once we go home, we're going to move those bees out to the bee yards, and that's when we're going to start actually making the honey. So we're going to go out there, we're going to put the supers on, which is all the boxes above the brood boxes, which are the bomb tube boxes. That's sort of their home. Supers are considered their work essentially. So we're going out there, we're supering, we're making sure that they got a queen, that they don't have any diseases, and we're treating. Then we'll do that about July. We start pulling those supers off and we're going to run it through our extracting plant, and that's when we're getting the honey. We'll do that through September. Once everything's off in September, we start doing our fall treatments again and trying to get them to where when we put them in the shed in November, that they'll be ready for when they come out of the shed, they'll still be alive.
Interesting. No, I had no idea kind of about that process. So from what I gathered from that, I always thought that those hives, they stayed in one place, but it sounds like that you transport those bees quite a long distance. And then you said that they get medicated. Was that right?
Yep. Actually our bees, just for our operation, through the summer, they're in Montana. November, they go to Idaho. Then in January, they come to California. Here in about a week, so beginning of April, we'll start sending some to Washington to another beekeeper that will lease them to run through pollination up there, and the rest go back to Montana for the summer.
No, that's fascinating. And when you mentioned that they get medicated, what exactly does that mean and what does that all entail?
Yeah, so bees are very acceptable to numerous diseases. Your biggest one that all beekeepers are constantly fighting is your varroa mites. And if you can keep your varroa mites down, it will help keep all your other diseases down. And so that you're using a lot of essential oils because you're treating for a mite, which is an insect, on a bee, which is also an insect. So you can't just use insecticides. You have to sort of play and figure out what the one insect can stand and the other one can't to get rid of that.
Okay. No, yeah. Thanks for kind of explaining more about that. So it sounds like that it's a year long process almost for these bees and getting them where they need to go and getting them the things that they need to do their job. Essentially, what would be your favorite part of the whole process? What do you enjoy most about it all?
Probably the most enjoyable is with those bees. We're also happen to travel. I put lots of miles behind a steering wheel. Bunch of it is on dirt roads and that, where you get to see all the different kinds of agriculture out there, and then just the beautiful scenery. So just sitting behind the wheel and driving and getting to see the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine jumping between those three states, you get to see a lot of beautiful scenery and a lot of windshield time too. So that is very cool. So to shift here again, I would imagine as being a beekeeper, you've gotten stung maybe once or twice. Is that fair to say?
I think once or twice today.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. Just each time when you go and you work with a hive, you just pretty much can plan on getting stung. Is that about right?
It honestly depends what you're doing with the hive. So like I said, this time of year, we're making our dead loss. And so we're digging in those hives and we're really messing with those hives. So like right now, yeah, you can expect to get stung. Come May, June, when we're back home in Montana, I'll be mowing those yards and getting those yards cleaned up. Half the time, I don't even wear gloves or anything when I'm in that yard, just because those bees aren't going to sting me. They leave me alone because I'm not digging in the actual hive.
And so with being stung, is that something that you've just kind of gotten used to over the years and doesn't faze you too much anymore?
Yeah, so for me, it doesn't. But you do have to watch, especially like beekeepers' wives. They're messing a lot with that dry venom, and they actually develop an allergy to bee stings. My mom actually is allergic to bees. So it's one of those I'm used to it, but you also got to watch at the same time because you could easily develop an allergy to them.
Okay. Yeah. That is interesting to think about because, I work with some people and few of them are allergic to bees but you're saying that allergy, that's something that can develop over time.
Yep. It's one of those, like you can be fine one day and the next day, all of a sudden you have that allergy. So you always got to be watching.
Okay. So with some of your experiences, working with bees and in your profession, Is there anything that really sticks out to you as being kind of a crazy experience or something that happened that you weren't expecting or planning on? Just if you have an experience like that, I think we'd love to hear it. So
beekeeping, you always have crazy experiences. But when it comes to crazy experiences for me personally, the one that always gets brought up is I was 4 or 5 years old, out on a weekend working bees with my dad, and we pulled into a bee yard and there was a bear in the middle of the bee yard.
Oh, wow.
And so my dad honked the horn and it ran about 100 yards out of the yard and up a tree. And my dad told me to keep the bear up the tree so he could work the yard and clean up the bear mess. So at 4 or 5 years old, I was chasing this bear around a tree, keeping it up a tree.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you guys treat a bear then. That's great. Did the bear do any damage to any of the hives? Was it trying to get in there to the honey, or was it just snooping around?
I think on that one, I mean, it's been 20 years ago that happened. He had just got in the yard, but bears do hit yards quite often, and they are very destructive when they do, usually.
Okay. Yeah, so from what I'm understanding, there's no normal day with beekeeping. It sounds like it's a profession that will keep you on your toes and one that will keep you very busy. But I would imagine it's also just a very rewarding experience and profession as well. Could you touch more on more about the fulfillment that comes from beekeeping?
Yeah. So with bees, it's always fun to just get out there. I mean, you're in the sun, you're getting that daylight hours, and then you get to really watch those bees grow. And they're such interesting creatures because, I mean, they're constantly fighting diseases, but they're an ancient animal, essentially. So they have their own sort of system that we got to work with to keep them alive. And so just seeing how they work and how they communicate with each other, it's just very interesting to watch that, to see that.
Yeah, just in my limited knowledge of bees, yeah, I understand there's different kinds of bees, and they all kind of have to work together to make their hive and their habitat thrive and do well. So kind of going back to some of the diseases you talked about, I would imagine those diseases can be pretty destructive. Have those diseases ever, could you touch more on what kind of diseases there are and if they can wipe out maybe like an entire colony of bees?
Yeah. So like I said, our biggest one's Varroa mite, and knock on wood, we have kept them fairly under control. We only lose about 20% of our hives a year. But if you don't keep on your mites, you can see collapses of 95 to 100% of your whole operation collapse in a year. You also have Nosema, which really you don't treat. You just sort of got to know it's there and work with it. Foul brood is another big one that you're treating for. And that's just sort of messes with the brood where the brood's not coming off right. So those are sort of your big ones you're really watching, but your mites is your hugest one. And yeah, it will collapse a hive in minutes.
Oh, wow. In minutes. Wow.
Yeah. If you get a good hatch, so the queen bee is laying around 2,000 hives or eggs a day. And those mites actually go into that brood once it's capped. When that hatches throughout that day, those mites are then being released and they're hitting the rest of the hive. And yeah, it can instantly take over a hive and kill it.
Oh, wow. So yeah, I think that's something that also I've never thought about before, is just the risk involved with beekeeping and the steps that you all have to take to make sure that the hive is healthy and the queen is healthy. And you mentioned the queen lays about 2,000 eggs a day. Is that every day? And what's the lifespan of a queen?
Yeah, so it's 2,000 eggs a day, essentially. Once it, like in the fall, when we are done pulling off the honey, she's going to cut that back down some, just because there isn't the flow coming in. And now there's more bees and less boxes. So they'll sort of cut back then. Then in the shed, they just sort of keep just enough, lay just enough eggs throughout the day, just sort of keep that hive going. But this time of year, yeah, she's laying 2,000 to 2,400 eggs a day.
Wow.
Just because there's a flow and it's sunny and nice out. So.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Just things that you don't really think about with beekeeping. So I have some young kids, and one thing that they do like is honey. They eat a ton of honey, whether it's peanut butter and honey sandwiches or honey toast. It seems like they just can't have regular toast. It just they have to have honey toast. So for you, do you ever get sick of honey, or is that something that being around bees and honey all day, is that something that you don't really eat at all, or do you still enjoy it?
About the only honey I use is if I'm using it in like a marinade. Otherwise, I don't really have any honey in my house. My parents use it some for cooking, but otherwise, yeah, we don't. We're just around it all the time, and it's just sort of there.
Yeah, I kind of figured as much. Just like you said, because you're around it all the time. So to kind of wrap things up here, moving forward with your operation, are you planning on expanding, or are you busy enough as it is with what you have? What's kind of the future of your apiary?
With bees, you're constantly changing. It sort of depends. If they find a treatment that works good for mites where you can run more, that's one thing. But we run about 5 employees year round, and then we get a few more employees throughout the summer. So like everywhere, there's employee shortages going on. For us to increase, it wouldn't be possible. Also, with trying to increase in Montana, there's what we call the 3-mile law. And that's a law that we can't be within 3 miles of another commercial beekeeper's registered site. That's about how far a bee will fly. And so to keep the disease down, if like our commercial operation, we're treating 15 to 16 times for mites each year. If the next commercial guy just is going to run bees and not treat as much, we don't want his disease. So it's sort of to help keep those diseases from spreading throughout the hives of bees. So we're sort of limited because of our territory. But if we bought out the next territory, we could increase.
Okay. Yeah. Just, I think what you all are doing is something that is of course very important, but just also just unique and something that I can tell that you're passionate about and that you have a lot of fun with. So is there anything else that maybe we didn't ask, or any other thoughts that you have just on beekeeping, your profession, or just anything in general?
The big one that I always try to get out there is for hobbyist beekeepers. It's a big thing to just own bees and be anti-treat. That actually in Montana, we sort of changed the law to where hobbyists also register with the state, just so we know where those bees are. Work with your local beekeepers if you're going to be a hobbyist beekeeper, because they might have those a little bit better of a treatment plan, or that way they know there's 2 bees just over this hill from my yard. So I know that I can't run as many bees here because there is bees 100 yards over a hill I can't see. So that's the big one, is just as a hobbyist, make sure you're working with those commercial guys so that you guys sort of work together.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Collaborating and making sure you all are aware of each other, and definitely sounds like it's the best way to go. So Spencer, is if people are interested in, you know, maybe getting some honey from you or want more information, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So since you guys are out of Idaho, getting honey from us would be expensive just because honey is heavy, and so shipping and all that. But if you want to learn more, Strange Apiary Inc. on Facebook is our Facebook page, and you can get on there. And throughout the year, we're constantly making posts just trying to inform people, because for us, doing stuff's normal, but people don't understand all the work that actually goes into beekeeping. So we try to get that information out there and let people learn exactly what we are doing, because it's so hard for us to explain what we're doing without having those pictures and everything, you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely just appreciate all of the promotion and all the education that you do to inform and to just share more about beekeeping, because I think it's something that is very misunderstood or not entirely known about. So Spencer, just want to say thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you have a successful bee season as things get rolling here.
Yeah, and thanks for inviting me once again. So.
Thank you, Spencer. Thank you again for joining us on Dirt Road Discussions, and we'll see you down the road.